Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We will not have a very long show. We will be in the New Testament. We walk by faith and not by sight. Your host overslept this morning. But God is all I can say is, but God woke me up this morning, started me on my way, and put praise in my heart. Father God in heaven, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for not allowing the enemy to knock me off my square where I almost was not going to do a show today because I thought, well, I overslept, it's too late, it's this and that, an excuse. God, forgive me for not understanding and not remembering. I have work to do today. But I have one more day with my grandchildren. And Lord, forgive me. You woke me up and I just got discombobulated and didn't do what I was supposed to do. So Father God, before I go for it, I ask forgiveness first. Asking you, Father, to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We will be only about a half an hour this morning, so there will not be much commentary. And we're going to start in the New Testament, which is where our title comes from. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, as we all know, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so let's get into our word this morning. I am coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Commentary is Dr. Stanley. So if I say what the Bible says about or life lessons or life questions, commentary is from Dr. Stanley. And as always, this is a great Bible to have, and I pray that many of you get it because it is great as a meditation word to meditate on day and night. And as the word goes, it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Come on now. For we who are in this tent groan, being hardened, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Hallelujah. This body is just housing us for a season. Once the body is gone and goes back to dust, our spirit lives on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. But we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. But if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Come on, I got to read that again. Because that's how I feel. If I am beside myself, it is for God. And the word says, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one dies for all, then all dead. Then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Can we all say together, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for putting me back on track. And the word again says, for love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. And if one dies for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling. Oh, praise the Lord. The world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's just say this together. But God. But God. But God woke me up this morning. But God started me on my way. But God gave me a new pep in my step. But God. We walk not by sight. Sometimes all we can have is a but God in our spirit. But God. Whew, I'm filled up because God woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Gave health in my body. Thank you, Jesus. But God, do you have a but God in your spirit this morning? Do you have a but God in your heart this morning? Do you know that you're walking by faith and not by sight? I understand every day when I get up that the grace of God is what gets me through. But God, we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul writes this verse in the context of the resurrection of the body. We remain confident that we will live again in a new and glorified body, not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. Hallelujah. I did not go through that place on yesterday of grief. I didn't even post a birthday wish on Facebook. But I will be posting a birthday wish in October on his new life birthday. I'm thankful for the 32 years I had with my husband. But I understand that it's time to move forward, that I can't wallow in grief, because God blessed me with life. God blessed me to have another day. God blessed me with baptism. to be a new creature in God. So I'm thankful because I'm walking by faith that God will provide. He has provided thus far, and he will continue to provide. All I have to do is believe. 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, not to man, but to God. If we love the Lord, we will make it our aim and our delight to please him by the way we live. We look for ways to make him smile, rather than probing to see how close to the cliff's edge we can get without falling off. Because sometimes you get too close and you're going to fall. But it'll be God in his infinite love that will catch you when you fall. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for catching me many times. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God has given us the task of letting the world know what Jesus has done to make it possible for everyone who has faith in him to enjoy eternal life and an intimate relationship with the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he gave his life for me. I believe that one day I will see my Father God. I believe that one day, oh, hallelujah, I will have eternal life because absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. I believe that. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. By God, sins of the whole world, and on the cross, plied them on the back of Jesus Christ, the one person who has never committed a single sin. Jesus took our punishment so that we might receive this righteousness. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord this morning. And this is a word from Dr. Stanley. What the Bible says about accountability, relationships. In an age of individual rights, we hear it every day. I have the right over my body. I don't have to wear a mask. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have the right over your body, so you can't make health choices. But I can make choices for myself, and I don't care if I affect your health. You know, we got to stop being some selfish, self-centered folks. Everybody's thinking about themselves and not about their brothers, not about their sisters, not about what they are doing that may hurt or harm someone else. We got to get out of everybody's personal business. If you have a right to your body, then everybody else should have a right to theirs. We got to quit judging and making laws to hurt and harm instead of help and make folks accountable. Because the fact of the matter is, I am pro-life. I will say it. I will preach it. I will proclaim it. That life is given by God. And only life should be taken by God. That's my feeling. But I have no right to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner of anybody else's faith or anybody else's body. It is not my place. It is God's. And if we keep trying to legislate God for life, we are alienating many from salvation, and we will be held accountable for it. You cannot shove salvation down anybody's throat. It has to be a choice that they walk by faith and not by sight, but that they see the godly love that is in us, that if they need help, we are there for them, instead of putting our judging thumb on the scale. God will hold us all accountable for our so heavenly-minded, no earthly good attitude toward everything and everybody. And I'm speaking to people of faith right now. God is going to hold us accountable in the womb, but in the next breath, we can talk about executing someone who committed a crime. You can't have it both ways. Life is life. You can't be against abortion and for the death penalty, because you are a hypocrite if you are. Because that life that we get in the womb can also be that life that someone takes, that life that we try to take because we don't like what that life did. Life is life, and only God can judge, and only God can pick a life. You will be held accountable for it. And the fact of the matter, statistically, abortions were already down. They were going down. Many, many, many people were choosing to keep their children. But then when you go in and legislate what didn't need to be touched, because it was going down. It was going down. Love changes attitudes and changes outcomes. But when you get in and legislate hate, God's going to hold us accountable. God's going to hold us accountable because we're not saving any lives. We're taking lives. God will hold us accountable. I pray we have a but God moment in this nation built on blood, sweat, and tears. God will hold America accountable if we don't change our attitudes toward each other. God could kill us, but you look like on the outside. He's looking at your inside. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Are you listening to what the Savior said on these two commandments and all the laws and prophets? God will hold us accountable. Are you walking by faith and not by sight? Or are you looking at what's out here now? We are more. We are better. We are children of the Most High God. And we got to act like it. And I love this word, accountability relationships. In an age of individual rights, the principle of accountability runs strongly against the popular grain. Our pride, egotism, and self-sufficiency avail against the concept of being accountable to one another for our conduct. Yet accountability is a strong biblical teaching that greatly enhances our spiritual and vocational pursuits. Scripture tells us that God has made us accountable both to him and to others. Accountability provides a wise check and balance whether to be a supervisor at work or a personal friend. We all need someone who will be able to both to admonish and encourage us. God allows others to observe and frankly discuss our areas of weaknesses, otherwise could result in eventual ruin. Let's face it, nobody likes to admit his shortcomings, but in submitting to someone we hold in high esteem or one in authority over us, we are winners. We stimulate our performance and help keep ourselves from turning freedom into license. Even though he was the preeminent apostle of his day, Paul remained accountable to his home church at Antioch, returning there on occasion to report on his journey. As a temperamental young creature, Timothy was accountable to Paul. Jesus had sent out his disciples not just for mutual support, but for accountability. Rather than avoid our gap in such relationships, we should thank God for every practical means of promoting our spiritual growth and developing ability. I'm accountable to God, but I'm also accountable to my pastor. That is my head, is my pastor. And I'm accountable to her for what I say, for what I do, for how I act, that may reflect upon my church that I'm a pastor in. How I treat the women in the ministry that I am director of, all those things. I have a responsibility, but I also have accountability. I am accountable for the things I do and for the things I don't do. I got to be accountable to somebody. When I was a wife, I was accountable to my husband, who was the head of my home, him being the head of the home. So many times, we as women want to be in charge of everything. We can't be. That's why God gave us husbands, father, son, husband, and wife. And yes, I believe that. When I was a wife, I was accountable to my husband. Yes, there were times I totally didn't agree with him, but he was still the head of our home. Father God, we'll be accountable to our Savior Jesus Christ, because I want him to open that door for me. I'm just being honest. And it says our ultimate accountability, of course, is to the Lord. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14:12, we read that. Knowing that we must one day answer to a just God should be a powerful incentive for holiness and obedience. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10 just said it. Becoming a Christian does not relieve us of personal responsibility. Although our sins have been forgiven through Christ's sacrifice, we still are responsible for our behavior. What we do on earth matters. We are free in Christ, but we also bondservants of Christ. God has so designed us that we need to remain continually aware of our accountability to an all-knowing creator, as well as our accountability in personal relationships. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17, which we will get to before this year is over. And before we get finished this morning, Psalm 106:32-39. They angered him also at the waters of strife. And we're talking Moses. This caused Moses not to make it into the promised land. Hard-headed folks. Folks that don't want to be accountable. Folks don't want to walk by faith and not by sight. Folks want everything handed to them. We need water. He got tired. But this is what it says. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the people concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds, not walking by faith instead of. In Proverbs 25:11-12, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ointment of fine gold, is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. You can't rebuke someone who's not ready to hear. You can't try to change someone's attitude when they're not ready for their attitude to be changed. You've got to wait on the Lord, and the Lord will be the one that will show you what to say, what to do, and how to do it. We give honor to God this morning. We thank God that he woke us up. We thank God that he gave us another day. I'm thanking God that he gave me this word this morning, because the enemy was doing everything in his power to keep me from moving forward and going forth. I overslept. I forgot what today was. And I have to admit, Lord, forgive me one more time. Father God, I messed up. And I ask forgiveness, because the enemy did not want this powerful word to go forth. But the devil is a lie, and there is no truth in it. I say, but God. But God will take you forth. But God will lead you where you need to go. But God will take you where you need to go. And all I can say is this morning is thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And when I go to the prayer this morning, it says when glory comes, we thank God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 in CD. God of glory, you are the fulfillment of every longing heart. Jesus, your victory over death is still being celebrated. It will be forever. You made freedom possible. You broke every chain of sin and death that kept us bound. There is no more bondage because of you. Thank you for your freedom that allows me to choose my own way without the shadow of sin hanging over me. Lord, I wouldn't go anywhere that would take me from you. I want to be found in you. When you return, may I be found in you now. I am so grateful for victory. I am an overcomer in you because of the weight of your sacrifice. There is no one else like you in all the earth. Be glorified above all else. I fully submit to you. Have your way in me today. Ooh, hallelujah. And the question for today's prayer is this. What does the glory of victory in Jesus look like in your life? And all I can say is, but God brought me here this morning. God said, yes, you can. When the devil was saying, I'll just wait till tomorrow. I'm so grateful today that I didn't wait, that I did what God said do. I'm grateful this morning that God came in, took a seat, and took over. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Give God the glory. Give God the honor. Give God the praise this morning. And before we get out of here today, a word from my sister in Christ. We are going a day behind, Sister Carolyn, but it's always on time. And the word for this morning is this. When people say no, God can still say yes. All it takes is one word from God, and everything in your life can change. And I say this today. I have a thankful Tuesday in my heart. As Sister Carolyn had a motivated Monday, I have a thankful Tuesday that God gave me this word. Thank you for joining me. We are done. Half an hour this morning. I have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't let the enemy knock you off your square today. Stay in the light, because God will give you the word you need to do what you have been assigned to do by God. So I thank God this morning for all of you that joined me today. We will be at 6 a.m. on tomorrow. So join me at 6, because I have my grandkids another day, and I'm getting ready to take them to school now. So thank you so much, family. Be blessed. Have a great and wonderful day. And again, remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. And have a bright God in your spirit, because God can take you through when you least expect it. He will wake you up. He will put you to work. Be ready and be a willing worker for the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.